But quite frankly, you can be taught a lot of things and not apply them, and you never realize what you've got. One of the things that they kept yelling about in school all the time was corn. Brother Vining was a man who, he pronounced everything by syllabication. The word is context, but he called it context. Boys, you must preach in context. I kept looking for that word, and finally I found out it was context. I looked it up in the dictionary. That means you have got to take the epistle, or whatever it is, and you've got to read above it, and you've got to interpret the whole thing in the light of what the writer is talking about. And I came up here, and I thought I was halfway decent at preaching. Now, I might as well tell you the truth. I thought I was pretty good, but I wasn't even halfway decent. And I don't claim that I'm any better now, but I sure know a whole lot more about the Bible and a whole lot more about preaching than I did when I came here. There are a lot of things in the Bible that the first time I preached through books, I didn't misteach them. I didn't teach any doctrinal error, but there were a whole lot of things in them that I kind of slanted it towards something it really wasn't talking about. And this is one of the things I'm going to talk about this morning. So before I get to the scripture, let's just go back and let me show you what the general subject has been about ever since we began Philippians 1, 20 through 30. In all of these, he's talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about spirituality. He's talking not about whether you've got the cold or flu, whether you're sick, whether you're having a leg amputated, whether or not you're in sadness because you lost a loved one. He's not talking about your concern because you have the bubonic plague. He's not talking about your physical aspect. One reason Paul liked the church at Philippi so much is because apparently this church paid a great deal of attention to the Word of God, and they had grown a lot spiritually. So looking at verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I've already covered that in great detail. I've already covered everything on here. Now, just kind of look at this for a minute. Read it. What's he talking about here? He's talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about the one who saved us, who's the head of the church, the foundation of the church, and how our lives and attitudes and minds ought to be conformed to his and not to our own way of thinking. The subject is spiritual growth. Paul was much more concerned about the spiritual growth of a person than he was their physical condition. Kenneth, if you went to the hospital, I'd be concerned about whether you recovered. But I'm a lot more concerned about your spiritual condition. Because once you leave this life, it's all over. My job is not to heal you physically. My job is to teach the Word of God so that the Word of God, by the Spirit of Christ, can change your attitudes and outlooks about life. If you don't think you need change, you'll never change. If I don't think I need change, I'll never change. Now we came on down to here. Wherefore, my beloved, if you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but how much more in my absence? And I preach that at length. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. He's talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about a development of spiritual character where you don't gripe and murmur and complain and grumble and about everything. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverted nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, the first time I ever preached this, some 31 years ago, I guess, I preached the message out of here and didn't even look at this. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And I said, what we need to do is hold out the word of God, preach the gospel, tell people about Jesus, tell them how to get saved, hold forth the word. I preached that completely out of context. Now, what I preached wasn't wrong. We should do that. Perhaps not with the fervor that I just indicated, We can do it in a nice, calm, quiet, easy manner. But the whole thing he's been talking about here is the light that you manifest with your own light, the light that a church manifests with its light. If a church is filled with people that are dissatisfied with everything in it, dissatisfied with each other, dissatisfied with the music program, dissatisfied with the pastor, usually they're dissatisfied with themselves. And they don't shine forth into the world as a church that has light. They shine forth into the world as a church that has nothing but mass confusion. And this is also true individually. This isn't talking about holding forth the word like, I'm going to take you down a Roman road and get you saved. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they take you down a Roman road and get you saved. That's not what that's talking about. In context. Logon zoe sepakontes. He said, hold forth the word of life in your life. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't dispute. He said, you're the light of the world. Don't act like a Christian. Be a Christian. And he said, if your attitude is one that causes people to dislike you, to hate you, just because of your rotten personality, he said, stop it. Quit murmuring. Quit complaining. He said, hold forth your life. So that when people see you, they can say, well, there's a person that I really believe loves the Lord. And then I went on through and talked about the rest of this. Got on down to this particular point here. Sacrifice, fight, I preach this. I joy and rejoice with you all, for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. And that's where we stopped last Sunday. Okay, now let's take a look at this. And let's remember that we're still in context. What is it that Paul has been concerned about? The spirituality of the church. He's telling them, don't mumble, don't silently complain and grumble and gripe. That's what the word dikaiosmo means. He said, don't dispute among yourselves and argue and get violent. That's what destroys churches. That's why people don't join churches. That's why churches don't grow. They spend much time fighting. If people look at them and say, you think I want to be a member of a group like that? No, they don't. Now, all of a sudden, he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Oh, now, here we go. Here we go with the bedside pastor. Paul said, I want to know if you're sick. I want to know if any of you have lung cancer. I want to know if any of you have plague. I want to know if any of you have lost loved ones. He said, I just want to bleed all over you. He said, I really am concerned about your physical welfare. I'm not saying Paul didn't care whether they were sick or not. I'm not saying Paul didn't care at all. But Paul was a whole lot more concerned about their spiritual welfare than he was their physical welfare. And what we tend in our work to rate a preacher by is his bedside manner. Did he visit me in the hospital? Is he concerned about my physical welfare? Isn't that right? Isn't that what you rate a pastor on? That's not what God rates a pastor on. Well, you're in the hospital, I come to see you. I come to see you because I want to come to see you. Not because I have a commandment from God to come. I come because I do care for your physical welfare. And quite frankly, Paul cared for their physical welfare. But Paul's a lot more concerned about their spiritual welfare. I want to see Geraldine turn into the kind of a Christian God wants her to be. Not necessarily what I want her to be, but what God wants her to be. I'll tell you why. I love Geraldine. And when this life is over, if she has applied the Word of God, and if God has changed her attitude and her outlook, then I've done what I was supposed to do. I've taught the Word of God. I haven't changed her. The Word of God has changed her. It's the Word of God that's going to change her. That's why a lot of people quit coming to church. That's the reason they don't come a whole lot. The Word of God makes them very uncomfortable. They don't want to change. They want to be just the way they are forever. And they're saved, and they know the Lord. But the reason Paul wanted to send Timotheus or Timothy to them, he said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And he's talking about spiritual state. He's talking about spiritual growth. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, that includes this, that includes this, and that includes that. Where'd you get that? What's the context? The context has been absolutely nothing but spirituality and spiritual growth. And he didn't have a better man to send who would be more concerned about their spiritual state than Timothy. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I'm a lot more concerned. Paul was a whole lot more concerned about the spiritual state of an individual. Man, you're going to die, every one of you. I'm going to die. I'm a lot more concerned about you, where you're going to be forever, in a millennial reign and in a heaven age. I don't want to see you blow it all. I don't want to see you never change in your attitude. I want to see you grow in grace. I want to see you turn into the type of a Christian that everybody likes to be around. I'm not asking you to change your basic personality. I'm just trying to ask you to be a more presentable person to others and not always be complaining and grumbling and griping and moaning. I'm not asking you to do that. The word is, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Now notice what he says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Let's go back where we were. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many times do you hear Jesus complain? Look at that bunch of ragtail. Look at it. Look at that bunch that followed him. Consider how the things they did. Never heard him gripe, complain, grumble, moan, did you? He said, you ought to be like that. Wonder why Jesus did that. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He did it because he loved the church. Do you love the church? Do you love the body of Christ? Well, do you murmur and silently complain all the time? Do you? Only you know the answer to that. Do you dispute and argue? Only you know the answer to that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to quit pointing the finger. I'm not pointing the finger at you. The Word of God is pointing the finger at me and at you. And Paul was a lot more concerned about their spirituality than he was about their physical state. Now, he sent for Timothy for a reason. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel, and that's why he sent him. He was the best he had. He understood the Word of God apparently better than Titus, apparently better than Silas, and he was the best Paul had. And Paul knew he would preach the Word. And he knew that when he went there, he would preach the Word, and if they listened, they would grow spiritually. That's the subject of this whole thing. We're far too concerned about our physical condition and our physical welfare, and we expect far too much out of our pastors to have a developed bedside manner, to be really concerned about everything that goes wrong with us and our family. I am. I have to answer what I just said. I am. But I am not nearly as concerned about your physical welfare as I am your spiritual welfare, because you're going to die just like me. And for 1,000 years you're going to be on this earth, and you're going to be here forever. And your kids won't be your kids anymore in the sense that you know them now. Your husband won't be your husband anymore in the sense you know him now. Your wife won't be your wife in the sense that you know her now. Oh, you'll see them. You'll know them, but it'll be a different relationship. And you're going to be there, and you're going to be given something to do by Jesus based on your spirituality. And so, you think I'm going to stand up before the judgment seat of Christ and give you little cute ditties? 3 points of poem, a cloud of dust, and high ho silver away? No. And the reason I'm not is because I want a good job in heaven. And I really believe all this. So let's take a look at the man that he sent. This is why he sent him. This is the last epistle he wrote to Timothy. He says, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul taught him. And he knew those things. That's why he sent him. Timothy did that group a lot of good. How do I know he did? Because I know Timothy's character. Because I believe what Paul said. He preached the word to them. All the New Testament hadn't been completed. So what did Timothy do? He took the Old Testament. And what did he do? He explained all the things that are appropriate in the New Testament from the Old Testament. And he knew the Holy Scriptures. And he made them wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You say, well, Timothy got a lot of souls saved. No. He probably did, of course. But he made them wise unto the salvation they already had, which is in Christ Jesus. What have you learned since you came to this church? If you haven't learned this, you haven't learned anything. You're a sinner. Now that you're saved, you've still got sin in your flesh. Now that you're a child of God, you've got a battle every day in your life. Every single solitary day. Well, how does that make you wise unto salvation? Don't tell me that you don't realize more now what grace is than you did when you came here. Don't tell me that you aren't more grateful for your salvation. Don't tell me that you don't realize you're a greater sinner than you thought you were. And don't tell me that you aren't more thankful to Christ for grace and that you understand it better. Once you understand grace, and you understand that God gave you this through the blood of His Son who sacrificed Himself on a cross, and that you can't add to it or take away from it, and it was just simply because God loved you just like you were and saved you by absolute unmerited favor by grace. Don't tell me you haven't learned that. You have. And it affects the way you think. It affects the way you feel. And you sure understand salvation a whole lot better than you did when you came here. Would you say that was fair, Gene? Anybody here disagree with that? Don't you think you've learned a whole lot more about salvation since you came here? Don't you think you now understand salvation a lot better? Aren't you wiser unto salvation? And the wiser you are unto it and understand how gracious God is, the more spiritual you become and you start doing what you do because of gratitude to Christ, because it's an absolute gift. That's the way it is. A church that does not teach the word and a pastor that does not teach his people ends up with a church of people that are murmurers, grumblers, complainers. They're not happy with anything. But if a man preaches the truth, whether it hurt or bruised or abused, he's doing that church the greatest thing that can be done to them. He's giving them the word of God. And they're looking at themselves and they're realizing the need for continual spiritual growth and change in their attitudes and outlooks. He told Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. You know, I've heard some people have left this church and they say, doctrine, 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 doctrine. That's all we hear is doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. For reproof. Some have left this church and they say, I don't like the way he raises his voice. I don't like what he says about me. For correction. They've left the church because they don't want to be corrected. For instruction in righteousness. They think they're already righteous enough. Now, a pastor that doesn't reprove, refute, teach doctrine, correct, and give instruction in righteousness, even though he may be God-called, he's of no help to that church. You may not like his style or his manner. You may not like his character or his personality. And I'm well aware that I have tremendous flaws in my character and personality. But if you have a man that teaches you the truth from the Word, you're going to learn a lot more about salvation. You're going to learn a lot more about yourself. And you're going to grow spiritually if you'll apply it. That the man of God may be perfect, complete, doesn't mean sinless, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm guilty of many things. I don't claim to be a good pastor. I don't even claim to be a good preacher. And that's not false modesty. But I do claim to study, to present the Word of God as straightforward as I know how, and to put it right straight on your platter, And you either take it and digest it, or you kick it off in the floor. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now, that's why he sent Timothy. Do I like Brent? Like him a lot. Do I like Toonie? Like her a lot. Are there any of you here I don't like? I like all of us. You say we're supposed to like everybody the same. Get off that. That's impossible. You can't like everybody the same. You're going to have some people you like more. Wonder why I don't like you the same. Wonder why you don't like me the same. Those are questions you have to answer for yourself. Now, he says, who shall judge the quick and the dead of his appearing kingdom? God called me to preach the truth. And if I preach the truth, I'll do you the word, I should say. Will do you a whole lot more good than me mommy-coddling you and babying you and treating you with kid gloves, because you'll never grow up. I played that game. I tried it when I first came here. And all I got was more trouble from it. And I just preach and teach the word of God, because one day, Donna's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So Sister Barry, so Shirley, so am I, so are all of you. You're going to be judged for your spiritual growth. That's what you're going to be judged for. How much change there was in your attitude, in your life. How much you grew spiritually. You think I don't love you? Man, you think it's easy to reprove, rebuke, stand up here and spit it out like this? You think I enjoy doing this? No. Everything that I teach concerning this subject, I do in love, because I know one day you're going to be somewhere else in eternity. What you're going to be judged for and the kind of life you have there is going to be directly proportional to how much you served God after you were saved. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. He said, be prepared to do this at all times. Now, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is why he sent Timothy. This is what Timothy was to do, he said, because he naturally cared for their state. Paul cared for their state. He wanted to know what spiritual state they were in. You say, you can't say that. It's the context. Everything I've shown you is the context. That's what he's concerned about. That's what any God-called preacher ought to be concerned about, to prove. If the word of God reproves you, and you feel guilty about it, confess your sin, try to do better. And when you fail, confess your sin and try to do better. And then, when you fail, confess your sin and try to do better. And then, of course, after that, when you do it again, confess your sin and try to do better. You say, well, my goodness, I'll be doing that the rest of my life. Now you understand spiritual growth. It's a continual effort on your part to try to do better. God doesn't expect you to live above sin. He just expects you to try to live for him and to acknowledge to yourself and to him that you need help. Rebuke. I'm not too good at that. I try to be as tactful as I can. I really do honestly try. I give you my word before the Lord. I try very hard. And I try to be tactful, and I try to work around corners, and I try to be as gracious as I can. But sometimes I just don't. Outwardly, have I ever rebuked you, Donna? I mean, just looked at you and said, Donna, you ain't worth a plug nickel. No, I've never rebuked you. And, well, Kenneth, you're not worth a plug nickel, but I've never told you that to your face, have I? No. I mean, I don't rebuke you. I don't come up to you and say, I'll tell you what, you missed church last Sunday. You're going to hell. I don't rebuke you. But sometimes it's the word that rebukes you, not me. So if I'm preaching, and I present something to you, and I make a case to show you that's what it means, and rebuke you, then you ought to try to do something about it. If the word rebukes you, not me, I'll just make you mad. But if the word rebukes you, you ought to do something about it. Exhort with all long-suffering in doctrine. I'm real short on long-suffering. I'm short-suffering. I'm a little better, not a whole lot, than when I came here. One of my main problems is not being long-suffering with others. I expect other people to be long-suffering with me. I really do. I want you to be real long-suffering with me, and you have for 31 years, so you've done your job. But I have a hard time being long-suffering. I wish I could be, but sometimes I don't say anything to you. But I'm like Brother Lyerly. He said, I thank God you don't know what I'm thinking. And I'm not very long-suffering, but I cry. And doctor, now that's my, I love that. Man, I love to teach doctor. Teaching, did a scholar, teaching you about Christ, teaching you about the church, teaching you about the first resurrection, teaching you about the prophecy. I love it. Well, if there ever was a time that was needed, it's now. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what's wrong in our churches today? They don't want to hear sound doctrine. You get a preacher that goes to a lot of these missionary Baptist churches, he learns something right quick. It's not a deliberate thing on his mind. He doesn't have horns and say, I'm going to do this because it'll get me by. He just naturally falls into it. He learns that the people like to hear salvation messages. He learns that. And after he learns it, he just preaches salvation messages. And you can do that for about 3 years. And then people say, we need to get somebody in here that'll teach us something. So they get rid of him and they get somebody in there that will teach them something. And boy, they have about 6 months of that. And they're ready to get rid of that bigger. They just think that. What they want to hear messages about salvation. You can go to a missionary Baptist church and you can teach salvation by grace and never make anybody mad. And security of the believer is the favorite subject of most of our preachers. And I preach a lot of security of the believer. But you can preach salvation by grace and security of the believer to a congregation. You're all saved here. I've asked you, even though some of you aren't members of the church, I believe you know Christ as your Savior. I've asked you. So, isn't it natural that you like to hear about salvation? Isn't it natural that you like to hear about securing the believer, that you can't lose your salvation? That's just natural. Every saved person likes to hear that. But then when you start preaching about Christian living, changing your life, and becoming committed and faithful to God, that's a little different subject, isn't it? Well, a lot of our preachers have learned that. So you don't hear them teach about baptism very much. You don't hear them teach about the Lord's Supper very much. These are just things that they did like the Southern Baptists, and they just keep pushing them to one side. And the people don't get any teaching on it at all. They never taught about what 95% of the Bible is about. They just limit their subject to salvation by grace, the cure of the believer, and ain't it wonderful here? And the people can go about and live their lives in a completely worldly manner. And as long as they're coming and giving, just coming long enough to give, these preachers are happy. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's not talking about Assembly of God. That's not talking about Catholic. It's not talking about Methodist, Presbyterian. It's not talking about any of that. It's talking about God's churches. It's talking about churches just like this one. They don't want sound doctrine. But what do they want? Here's exactly what they want. But after their own lust, shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want preachers to tell them what they want to hear. Don't give me any of this rebuke. None of this rebuke. None of this reprove, rebuke, exhort, doctrine. No, none of that. Just teach us about how safe we are, how saved we are. And how we're going to heaven. Won't it be wonderful there? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. The word for fables, literally, the word that's used for fables really means fiction. They shall be turned to fiction. Do you ever wonder why this series of books, they've written, I guess, about 40 of them, they branched out of the Left Behind series, which teach, don't worry about anything. You're going to be whisked out of here at the first of the week. You're not going to have to endure any tribulation. Everything's going to be fine. They're the best sellers in history. You know why? It tells people what they want to hear. It If I had come here and just preached salvation by grace, secure the believer in Jesus is coming, and we're going to be whisked out of here at the first of the week, you don't have a thing to worry about. Well, I might have not lasted 31 years, but I'd have been a lot more popular. But I wasn't sent here by God to do that. I was sent here because I naturally care for your spiritual state and for where you're going to be after you leave that body. So, I wonder where Thelma is. She's sick? Okay. Let's remember Thelma in our prayers. Remember Sister Kipling. Brother David, would you dismiss us?